Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, we love to take these deep dives, and today we're going deep into the world of ejector pins.
Ejector pins.
Yeah, those little guys that push molded products out of their molds.
Right.
I mean, whether you're, you know, into manufacturing or design or just how things are made.
Mm-hmm.
This is for all of us, and we have some excerpts from a technical document.
Okay.
And it's all about, you know, the forces involved and getting a smooth release.
Yeah, getting those products out smoothly.
Exactly. And hopefully by the end of this, we'll all kind of have a new appreciation for the hidden engineering behind, you know, the everyday objects we take for granted.
Yeah. It's really fascinating how much goes into something we just, you know, never even think about. Yeah. Like there.
Yeah. And our source starts by talking about product size and shape.
Okay.
And it reminded me, you know, of just that age-old struggle, like getting a cork out of a bottle.
Uh-huh.
You know, the bigger the cork, the more muscle you need, right?
Exactly. A larger product just means more surface area in contact with the mold.
Right.
So that's more friction to overcome during ejection.
Huh?
Basic physics.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And our source even gives this example of a large plastic shell, you know, and they say it needs a bigger ejector pin just to handle that extra friction.
Wow. Okay, so it's not just about size, though, is it?
No, no, not at all.
The shape of the product matters, too.
Absolutely.
Like how? So...
Well, you know, think about trying to get a cookie cutter out of dough, especially if it's one of those, like, you know, fancy ones with all the little details.
Yeah.
All those nooks and crannies, you know, create uneven stress distribution, making it harder to release.
So, like, the more complex the shape, the more challenging it is to get that clean release.
Yeah. And the source mentions, you know, products with deep holes or complex curves.
Okay.
Those require even more force for ejection.
It's like the mold is really clinging onto the product at that point.
Right.
But what about the thickness of the product's walls?
Oh, yeah.
Does that play a role?
Definitely. The source explains that thicker walls, they tend to shrink more as the product cools.
Okay.
And that shrinkage, you know, it increases the force needed for ejection.
Ah.
And they even give a specific example of a product with a 5 millimeter wall thickness.
5 millimeters?
Yeah. And they say that needed a much stronger ejection mechanism than a thinner one.
It's like trying to peel off a tight glove.
Right.
The thicker the material, the harder it is to remove.
Exactly.
This is making me think about, like, all those plastic products I use every day.
Right.
In a very different way.
I know, me too.
Wow. But I'm curious about the mold itself.
Okay.
Surely the design of the mold plays a role in all of this, too.
Oh, you're absolutely right. The mold design is crucial. It's like the stage for the whole ejection process, you know?
Oh, okay.
Our source highlights the ejector mechanism itself, you know, as a key factor.
Right.
And they mention there are, like, two main types.
Oh, really?
Direct ejector pins and then push plate mechanisms.
So it's like choosing between a solo act and a whole team, right? That's a good way to put it, yeah.
So direct ejector pins, they provide that single focused push.
Right.
And the push plate kind of distributes the force more evenly across the whole product.
Yeah. A direct ejector pin is simpler, but, you know, you have to be careful about potential uneven force.
I see.
A push plate is more complex.
Sure.
But it ensures a more balanced push, so less risk of damage.
Yeah. That makes sense. But I imagine a push plate system would require a more complex mold design.
Right.
Which would mean it would be more expensive to make.
Yes, exactly. There's always a cost-benefit analysis to consider.
Of course.
And, you know, speaking of the mold,
yeah,
our source really emphasizes smooth mold surface.
Okay.
They say it's like the difference between sliding on ice and trudging through mud.
Wow. So even a tiny bit of roughness can create a lot of friction.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. And that makes ejection way more difficult.
So it's like polishing the stage to make sure there's a smooth exit for the performer.
Exactly.
I like that analogy. And what about the angle
at which the product is ejected? Does that matter too?
Absolutely. They call it the demolding angle.
The molding angle.
Yeah, imagine you're trying to push a block of wood up a steep ramp.
Okay.
Versus lifting it straight up.
Yeah.
The ramp requires less force, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
Because it reduces the contact area.
Uh-huh.
So similarly, a steeper demolding angle generally requires less force for ejection.
Okay, so we've talked about the product itself.
Right.
How the mold design influences that ejection force.
Uh-huh.
But what about the actual ejector pin?
Right.
What are the factors that determine its effectiveness?
Well, like any good tool, the ejector pin has got to be the right size.
Okay.
And made of the right material for the job.
Makes sense.
Our source mentions the pin's diameter and length are critical.
Okay.
A larger diameter pin can handle greater forces, obviously.
With a thicker rope.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But what about length?
Length.
Why would a shorter pin be preferable?
Well, I'm picturing a diving board. A shorter board is stiffer, right? Less likely to bend.
Exactly. A shorter ejector pin is less prone to buckling or bending, allows for a more precise and controlled ejection.
Okay, so it's all about finding that sweet spot between strength and stability.
Right.
It seems like choosing the right material for the pin is equally important.
Oh, absolutely.
You mentioned SKD61 earlier.
Yeah.
What makes this material so special? It sounds kind of sci-fi to me.
It does have a futuristic ring to it.
It does.
But it's a type of tool steel that's known for its high strength wear resistance and toughness.
Wow.
It's specifically designed to handle those, you know, harsh conditions of injection molding.
Okay.
You know, where those pins are subjected to repeated stress and high temperatures.
So it's not just about being strong. It's got to be able to withstand those extreme conditions over and over again.
Exactly.
But why SKD61 specifically? Are there other materials that could work, or is there something special about, like, the chemical properties of it that make it the best choice?
Well, there are definitely other materials out there. But SKD61 strikes a really good balance between performance and cost effectiveness.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
It contains chromium, molybdenum, and vanadium.
Okay.
And those give it that strength and toughness and resistance to wear and tear.
And you're saying it's designed to maintain those properties even at those really high temperatures involved in injection molding.
That's right.
So it's not just a random choice. It's like a carefully engineered solution.
Exactly.
Wow. Choosing the right material for the ejector pin is starting to sound as important as choosing the right tool for a job.
Precisely. You wouldn't use a butter knife to cut a steak, right?
Right.
Using a weaker or unsuitable material for the ejector pin, that could lead to all sorts of problems. You know, premature wear and tear, product damage, even mold failure.
Wow.
It's crucial to select a material that can handle the specific demands of the application.
Okay, so we've covered the product. Uh-huh. We've talked about the mold.
Yeah.
And the ejector pin itself. Are we missing any pieces of the puzzle?
Well, we've discussed the hardware, but what about the process itself?
Oh, okay.
The injection molding process can have a big impact on ejection force as well.
How so?
Well, factors like injection speed, melt temperature, and cooling time.
Okay.
All of those can influence how tightly the product sticks to the mold, which in turn affects how much force is needed to eject it.
It's amazing how interconnected everything is.
It is.
Even slight variations in the process can have a ripple effect on the whole system.
Exactly. And understanding these nuances is key to optimizing the whole molding process.
Right.
By fine-tuning these variables, engineers can reduce defects, ensure consistent product quality, and ultimately make the whole process more efficient.
This is all so much more complex than I ever imagined. Yeah. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the science and engineering behind everyday objects.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, beyond the technical aspects, is there like a bigger picture here?
Hmm.
What can we learn from this deep dive into ejector pins that applies to other fields and industries?
That's a great question and a perfect segue into the final part of our exploration.
Okay.
You know, we've been focused on ejector pins.
Right.
But the principles we've uncovered have much wider applications.
All right. So we're back and ready for the final part of our ejector pin deep dive.
Let's do it.
You were saying, you know, that the principles we've uncovered have these applications that go, you know, way beyond plastic manufacturing. I'm all ears. What did you have in mind?
Well, we've spent this whole deep dive talking about how these, you know, seemingly small components can have a huge impact on this complex process.
Yeah.
Right. And we've seen how, you know, understanding material properties, optimizing design for efficiency, finding that balance between force and precision.
Right.
These are all crucial for success.
Yeah.
And these concepts, they're not limited to just making plastic products.
So you're saying the lessons we've learned from these tiny little ejector pins, they can be applied to other fields and industries.
Absolutely.
Kind of blowing my mind a little bit.
It's all about recognizing those underlying patterns and those connections.
Okay.
Think about the medical field, for example.
Okay.
Surgical instruments, implants, even drug delivery systems.
Yeah.
They all rely on these carefully engineered components that have to function perfectly under very specific conditions.
Wow, that's a great example.
Right.
And I imagine the processes involved in, you know, creating and manipulating those components are just as crucial as the components themselves.
Absolutely. Understanding the forces, the limitations of the materials and the design considerations. These are essential in any field that involves, you know, this kind of precision engineering and manufacturing.
This is really making me think differently about the world around us. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's this whole new level of awareness of the hidden complexities behind all these everyday objects and systems we just take for granted.
Yeah, it's like we've pulled back the curtain and peeked behind the scenes.
Right.
And that's what's so exciting about these deep dives. You know, taking something that seems like a niche topic, like ejector pins,
right?
But it can open up this broader understanding of interconnectedness and these shared principles across different fields.
It's amazing how something so small can spark such a big shift in perspective.
I know, it's pretty cool.
So what's the takeaway message you want listeners to, you know, walk away with today?
Mm-hmm.
What should we all be pondering as we go about our day?
I'd like them to consider this, what other seemingly small but critical components are at work in the world around them.
Okay.
What are those hidden forces and design decisions that shape their everyday experiences?
Wow.
It's an invitation to look closer, to ask questions, and to appreciate that intricate web of engineering and innovation that makes our modern world possible.
Beautifully said. From the mechanics of ejection force to the broader implications of design and material science. You know, it's been quite a journey.
It has.
I don't think I'm going to look at a plastic bottle cap the same way again.
Me neither.
And who knew ejector pins could be so thought-provoking? Well, folks, that's a wrap for today's deep dive. We hope you've enjoyed this exploration into the hidden world of ejector pins.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And remember, keep your eyes peeled for those unsung heroes of manufacturing at work all around you. Until next time, keep exploring and keep learning.